You know, as we said before, we live in a society and a time where everybody likes to travel. We're always on the go. If I could ask you, you know, where have you been the last week or last month or last year? You've been in places all over the world. In those days, obviously in the Old Testament, New Testament, people traveled, but not as much as we do today. A matter of fact, today we got a blessing that we can go anywhere. And the only thing we can do is complain about, no, I don't want to do it by plane because I don't like to fly. Or I don't want to go on a cruise ship because I'm afraid of the water or the ship. Or I don't want to be on the road because the traffic's too bad. But we still go, don't we? We pack our bags and we go, and we usually have a good time, a great time. Well, we have in the stories here in the Bible a number of instances where God chose specific people to go out, pack your bags, and go. Way back, and this is not in the scriptures, this is 1936. My dad was working for the mission field of the Presbyterian Church in Colombia, South America. And he was in a school. He was teaching as part of the mission program. When from New York, the mission board called him and said, "Gil, you got to pack your bags. We got a little town called Bucamanga way out there, and you've got to go over and take the place of leadership because our missionary has died." Well, my dad was, he was in the missions, he was teaching, and it's not the kind of thing he was. And then he said, "God, but I'm settled here, my wife is pregnant." He said, "Go." So he did go, but while he was there doing his work and in the church, there was a missionary group that called him in another town because the missionaries were meeting. And so he went. While he was there, a telegram came, "Gil, your wife is about to deliver a baby." "Oh, okay, what are we going to do?" So he looked around for possibilities of traveling back to the little town. In those days, the roads were muddy and bad, and there was no transportation except a bus to take. And he took a bus overnight to go and see his wife, who was going to be ready for delivery. Well, in the middle of the night, the bus had a flat tire. And the bus driver obviously stopped and asked some people to help him change the tire in Nowheresville. And nobody could find the right tools. But in the meantime, there were some young men in the bus, and some ladies of questionable character. And they all decided to have a party. They brought some beer and some whiskey and whatever, and they had a party in the middle of the night. My dad was shaking and said, "Oh, no, we've got to go." Well, he couldn't do anything except wait until the next day. And so they finally got to the little town, to his town, where his wife was being delivered, and the boy was born, and that was me. And that was 2 days ago on September 20. But anyway, it's just one of those kind of stories. You know, God touches all of us, and his spirit is always working good things for all of us, but we have to listen, and we got to pack our bags when he calls us and go. As compared to, there was another man there in the scriptures. We didn't read it today. Jonah. "Jonah, I need you. Pack your bags and go to Nineveh. Because in Nineveh, the people aren't doing the right things, and they're just going to destroy themselves, if nothing else. Go and tell them to repent." Jonah says, "No, they're bad people. I'm not going to go there. Send somebody else." "Oh, come on, Jonah. Get your bags and go." And then Jonah says, well, you know, there's no transportation there. God says, oh, I have a program. I got a well of ideas for you. And God sent him. Whatever way God chooses is the right way to go. And you know that the results were wonderful. The people repented because of the message of God. That's the way Christ works with all of us. He sends a message in a way that we may not understand, but there he is. And there's Moses. We read the story today. And what Moses was a little boy that was rescued out of the Nile River. And then he became very prominent in Egypt and elevated to very high positions of government. God blessed him and blessed the people that were at that point in Egypt, the Hebrews, some in slavery, some working hard, but they were second-class citizens, if not anything else, and they weren't liked. And so eventually the people were really trying to either get rid of them or just use them for slave purposes and hard labor. God said to and Moses, looking around and being with his people, saw that one of them was being beaten. You remember the story? And Moses decided to do something about it. He didn't ask God what he could do. He didn't ask the Spirit, maybe I need to think about it. He went over and violently did what he felt was right. No advice. You know, if God had asked him, well, why did you do that? He said, well, he probably said the same thing that Sinatra sang, I did it my way. And he thought he was getting away with it. Well, he had to flee. It's something that we don't have to do when we're with the Lord. We don't have to be so fearful that God is not going to be with us or helping us. But anyway, he ran away from the problem instead of dealing with the situation, asking for solutions, praying to God, getting the Spirit to move. He decided to just go. Well, he went to the desert, and you know the story. Eventually, he got married. He worked out there with his father-in-law's sheep. And then God touched him. Moses, pack your bags. You got to go back to Pharaoh. What, God? Not me. I can't even talk. I can't even speak. Yes, you can. I'll give you the words. Well, what am I going to say? He said, talk to Pharaoh and tell him very clearly, let my people go. He said, I can't say that. Moses, all you have to do is four words, let my people go. Can you say that? Oh, yeah, God, I guess so. So he went back to Pharaoh, and obviously things happened the way that they should. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story of the people of Israel. But freedom came in that kind of a way, and God blessed the people, and God blessed Moses. But we have another person, and that is Saul of Tarsus. We know him as Paul, a great, great man of God. But at one time again, he was so powerful in his ideas and feelings on how to deal with what he thought these people of the way, so-called Christians, were going totally against the Hebrew Jewish traditions, and therefore they needed to be eliminated or change their ways. So he went and incarcerated a lot of these people, put them in jail, persecuted them, and then finally he said, well, now I'm going to go all the way to Damascus, and I'm going to see if there's anybody out there that we're going to have to put in jail because they're people of the way, and they're getting in the way of our traditions. Okay, so he did that. He went, and he felt he was doing God's will. You see how easy it is if we're not in the Spirit, we will go and do our own way. We will do it my way, like Frank Sinatra. We will not listen. We will not ask for advice. We will do it on our own and then get into a heap of trouble, even though we don't know it at the time. So he went out there and did what he had to do. Eventually, he found that in the way to Damascus, a great light came, and he and the people that were with him, guards, I guess, they were going to put people in jail in Damascus, they all fell to the ground. Big voice, big sound, big light, and nobody knew what was going on. And until a voice came, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Who are you?" Can you imagine saying to Jesus, "Who are you?" Well, he didn't know. He was totally on his own, and he was trying to conquer whatever it was on his own way. And he didn't want anybody's control, even God's. He wanted to be in control himself, which is something that oftentimes happens to all of us. We want to be in control. Well, wait. The Spirit of God is with us all, always. We need to be sensitive to allow that Spirit to speak to our hearts, our minds, our intellect, our habits that sometimes need to be changed. Things that we shouldn't be doing, we should change into something we should be doing. The man was totally blind. Literally, he was blind. And he couldn't even see when he got up. And Jesus said, "You know, I have somebody out there who's ready to help you." See, God is always has a plan. And he's ready to make sure that plan works. And it's a good plan. And it's a plan that will prosper. And it's a plan that is not going to sink into the water and drown. You know, I'm thinking of that. I remember, and I'm sure some of you do too, if you have gone to Sweden, do you know that museum in Sweden that is very popular? The only thing that's got inside is a big boat made in 1600s. Beautiful boat, carved, absolutely perfect. And somebody had all the money in the world to do it, and they said, "I want the best carpenters, I want the best boat builders, I want this boat is going to be beautiful." And they did. They came up with Vasa, the name of the vessel. And finally they came and they put it out to sea. And they say that it went 1,600 meters and pew, went down. Sank, beautiful. Well, eventually the people of Sweden decided, you know, it's too beautiful a ship to let it be sank out there. And they pulled it out, cleaned it up, and it's today in the museum. It's beautiful. But somehow somebody didn't listen to whoever knew exactly what should be done, and they got probably what they deserve. Not the poor advice, and they weren't listening to what's supposed to happen to this ship. You and I have always, and we're so fortunate that God has chosen you and me. We haven't chosen God. I mean, we eventually chose God, but it was He who touched our hearts. It was He who opened our minds. It was He who saw the blindness in our eyes and open our eyes. And we're so grateful to God for that, because, you know, it's not the vision that the eyes themselves, the body will perish, but the vision will stay forever. If you have a vision, and you do, And that vision is Christ our Lord Jesus. That vision will go a long ways to accomplish what God wants to happen. He says, pack your bags and go. You go and you accomplish that mission, and people all around will be blessed. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much that you have given to us the Word of God, the Word of the Lord Jesus. Who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. Lord, help us never to go so astray that we don't feel a sense of your presence. Touch us humbly. We humbly pray that you will always be in our minds and hearts. And that when we go and do whatever it is, we don't say, I did it my way, but rather, I did it your way. In Jesus' name, amen.